of every opportunity. But we realize that we need grace and love and a sense of your Spirit to do that. We need to be shepherded. We need to be guided. So we thank you for grace. We step into your grace, and we thank you for Bronson that he's willing to step into your grace, to add movement to his faith, steps to his faith. And we just thank you for your anointing on him. Pray that, Lord, the word that he brings this morning would just be from your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. I hope you all had a good Black Friday, and I hope you got nice and convicted by Paul. Oh, man. The word of the Lord is return all that you bought, and you'll be better off. No, just kidding. So, Merry Christmas. Thank you. I've been enjoying watching Christmas movies with my families. I think one of my favorites is The Grinch, with Jim Carrey, and I guess a similar story is like Mr. Scrooge, right? Same kind of paradigm shift that happens, and I'm not promoting any movies, but the story is really fun. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I'm still kind of stuffed, and I love when Winnie and Birdie are there, and they always come up and hand me something new. They're like, you know, here, Dad, try this and try this. And I think they're going to be like my grandma, who pretty much does the same thing. It's like, I have a full plate. She's like, here, take this, try this. And we just get super stuffed. As you kind of go through the holiday seasons, and you guys hear people talking about, this is a really good deal, you know, you gotta buy this, like, right now, like, Black Friday sales, they're the best, like, this is what you want. There's this call in us to want something better, right, and, like, to not miss out on the best price of that thing. And I think a lot about documentaries, too, right? It's a lot of the same thing about, like, eating good food and staying away from this big bad meat product like industry, and all of these things are basically like showing you the flaw in that thing. Like, don't eat that meat. Well, how many of you guys have seen some of those and now you're back to your old habits? It's like pretty, I'm guilty of that, you know? We've watched all those things. That's kind of like the thing, like the hype. You got to watch this. You got to see this movie. It'll change your life. It'll keep you away from this unhealthy food. And then you kind of fall right back into it. They point out the error of something, but they don't normally show you the better thing that there is. So part of that scene is just talking about how horrible it is to not be vegetarian, but then it's not like this is how you should eat, and let me help you, like, let me give you all the food, let's start a garden together. That's like kind of impractical. But I want to talk about this idea of trading in something not as good for something better. Let's open up the scriptures. Matthew 11, verse 20. We're going to follow along as Jesus rebukes a few cities here. And then he invites people into something better. Then he, meaning Jesus, began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? Will you be brought down to Hades? For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, "Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Rick. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there Jesus is like, he's rebuking these cities saying, I showed you something better, but you didn't change. I gave you this grace and my love, but you didn't respond. Do you feel that rebuke? I feel it too. In the Gospels, we see a lot of repent. Turn from this wicked thing. And it seems to today, you know, I see these guys at the pier and they have the signs repent. And I've heard Christians kind of like bashing that. But I think it's just a misunderstanding, really. I think that the definition of repent, it does mean to mourn and to grieve your sin. Like, sure, like we should be sad of that and convicted at times, but it's not necessarily to be forced on you to just feel grievous of your sin. That's something that the Lord does in you. But repent doesn't just mean turn away from sin. It means turn to God. So when people are saying repent, they're saying there's something better out there. There's something so much better for you. You just don't know it yet, or you haven't tasted it. I want to look at that a little bit today. It's like, how many of you have been there for the turn of the white and black TV for color? Was that like the greatest thing? Like, you got to trade in your black and white TV. You got to go and then buy Wizard of Oz. Like, you can't, you won't even, you're going to love it. You haven't lived until you've bought a color TV. That's the heart of repentance. That's the call. Exchange your old Pinto for a restored Pinto. Yeah. I've been working at a courthouse in Pasadena, and it's a really weird atmosphere. Have you guys ever worked in, other than jury, I mean, even jury duty, it's the same idea. It's just this weird vibe, I guess. Like, I'm in the elevator, and someone walks in, and the other people kind of, like, stiffen up and, like, greet him, and he walks away, and I go, was that a judge? They're like, oh, yeah, that was a judge. He's like, oh, yeah, I could tell, you know. You guys are all, like, oh, yeah. I was going to say something there, but it's not appropriate. Like, the way they were, you know, just like, oh, all stiff about it. But, you know, I think about what is Jesus in this whole, like, courthouse scenario? And what's our calling in this courthouse scenario? And it was funny because I started looking at Acts, and I go, the apostles were in court a lot. This is pretty hilarious. And I found an irony that is, it's so true today too, but we think like we're the only ones calling the world to repent. But they're calling us to repent of our righteousness. The world is constantly telling us, turn to me, turn to the world. I've got what you want. Like, I've got all the deals. Like, you know, get the best gifts for your friends, or, you know, that's just a silly example, but it's like, no, you want this for your soul. The world is constantly telling us as Christians, like, yeah, you don't need to enforce that rule as much. Like, you know, these laws are just loving your neighbor like half-heartedly is okay. Being lukewarm, that's fine. But that's really, the world is telling us to turn away from God, which is, it's like the opposite of repentance. But it is a turning. Like, repent means to turn. So they're saying, turn to this, right? And the apostles were in court saying, no, we will not turn to that. In fact, you turn to God. So let's look at Acts 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah, that's mine.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Verse 17. Acts 3, verse 17. And I think this is Peter talking here. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. He's talking to the Jews. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. As Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So there's a lot to say there, but I'm mostly just looking at the, like, a thematic theology of the call to repent. And if you look there, it's not just stop your sinning because you're so bad and wrong, and it is that, but it's also turn to the Lord and be blessed. It's also that your sins may be blotted out. It's not just that you're so wrong. It's that there's something so much better. Like, all your guiltiness will be wiped clean if you just turn to God, if you just turn to Jesus. You guys getting that? You see that part of repentance? It's good news. I have another Acts verse here. Acts 17. Yeah, Acts 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind and breath and everything. Oh, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art of imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the earth in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So that right there is like, it's like the fires. It's like the first responders coming to your door and saying, hey, look, there's a fire right there. Your house is going to burn and everything in it. You got to go. They're like, hey, there's a judgment day coming. We just told you your gods aren't true. Ours is. Here's some reverb. And by the way, there's good news about this. Go to our God. Get out. Like, repent. Just turn from sin. Turn to God and you'll be good. It's like, hey, just get out of the house and you'll be okay. And it's our job to say, yeah, I believe you. Let's go. Stephen, demonstration this morning. Stephen, hi, brother. Hey, good to see you. I want you to hold this with both hands, please. Thank you. Just like that. It's perfect. Now I want you to hold this with both hands, please. All right, well. Pretty good, pretty good. Next, no, have a seat. Thank you. That's perfect. All right, don't worry, I have a rebuttal. No, it's fine. So when you're holding that, let's say you're holding both of them, which one are you really paying attention to? Could you see the one in the back? Not really. No. God comes up to us and he says, drop that lifestyle and pick up this one. And we can't hold them both. You can't. It's like you can't be lukewarm. You can't hold the life of God and enjoy it and be present and hold this other life. You have to repent. You have to turn away from that sin and turn to God. It's like texting and driving. You can't really, you're just a hazard. It's just not good. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just pick one. The Pharisees, they would call people in a way to turn to the law. So like, turn to the law. And in doing that, they really missed it. They missed the love, the relationship that God wants us to have. It's like watching the documentary and seeing how bad something is, but never changing. So the gospel of Jesus is, pick up the life of Christ in you and live by grace and by love and don't live in sin. Yeah. I'll look at my notes. Yeah, I'll look at my notes. Okay. God is loving. He wants us saved. Sin will kill us. God will save us. God demands that we repent of our sin and accept his saving. Okay, the beauty of this that I really want us to see is that there's a joy in repentance because you know what? We're getting something better. There's something so much better than living in sin. It's like you can't, there's just no life there. God's saying, look, watch this documentary, and by the way, here's the way to live. It's me. And I don't want you guys to fixate on just turn from sin, just turn from sin, just stop sinning. What I want you to, we do that a lot. We fixate on, okay, if I just stop sinning and if I live this life, I'm good. But you miss turning to God and you miss the relationship with God. And that's the good part. That's like a religion. That's like not a good religion. That's self-righteousness. We need to repent from sin, yes, turn away, but also turn to God. Trade your plain old life for a life full of love and grace. We sadly fixate on following rules as opposed to simply receiving the gift of grace. Another funny thing about this, and then we're going to read another scripture, is this idea that if you're holding this one, you're not holding that one. If you're turning to God, you're not turning to sin. Do you see that? You're not. It's so funny. Like someone wrote in my Bible once, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. So sin will keep us from the presence of God, but the presence of God will keep us from sin. Do you see that? And that's the part of repentance that I don't want us to miss. It's like, I think of the Grinch, right? He sees Christmas as just this plain, two-dimensional stick figure thing, and it doesn't make sense, and he's just mad about it because he's really never had relationship with people. He doesn't understand that Christmas is about saying hi to your loved ones that you haven't seen and singing songs together and just feeling like a warm feeling, right? You just look in someone's eyes and say, oh, it's good to see you. The Grinch never felt that, so he never understood what Christmas was. He thought it was just about the gifts. And when he realized that, his whole world shifted, and he realized he can never experience Christmas as heartless anymore. He's tasted what's good. He can't go back. It doesn't work anymore. It's really cool paradigm shift. And Scrooge is the same way. Our religion loses its heart when we think we get righteous by ourselves. In the same way, Christmas loses its heart when you just buy someone a gift and forget to say hi and you love them and give them a hug. I was talking to Marquita a little bit, and she is going to let me quote her. People tend to believe that God wants to deprive them when he actually wants to give them everything. I want to read Isaiah 55 for you guys. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is the voice of the Lord. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me diligently and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness for the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For our thoughts are not your thoughts, O Lord, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It's a lot like that Matthew 11, come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden. You guys, he calls us into something so much better. He's like the good dad who teaches his kid how to swing a bat properly. He's like, no. You want to hit a home run? This is how you do it. Don't hold it like that. Hold it like this. And then you'll be able to get that good swing and knock it out of the park. I think Jesus stands outside of the courthouse and says, hey, I'll go in there with you and I'll take the punishment, right? He says that. I'll take the punishment. You'll be pardoned. Just walk with me. Just decide right now to walk with me your whole life, and I'll give you a much better one. If you have been living in sin, repent. That's to me too. If you have been avoiding the face of the Lord, you're probably living in sin, and repent. But don't avoid the face of the Lord, guys. That's part of this repentance thing that I want us to get so right. It's like, why do we fear that? I mean, it seems so easy to just be religious and avoid sin. We know it's harmful for us, right? But the other part of it is turn to God and be with him, right? Look him in the eye, like at a Thanksgiving dinner. Relate to the Lord. We need to do that too. That hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's the heart of repentance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for, in a sense, you make it easy for us to turn to you by commanding it, and also just making that this side of it so much better. Thank you for this good diet for the soul. Thank you for this full life. May we never, ever turn back, and may we always turn to you, Lord. I ask your grace on the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.